Hello everyone and welcome to RadChat, the multi-award winning first therapeutic radiographer-led oncology podcast. Welcome to a bonus series in paid collaboration with Elekta, who are a global company that provide radiotherapy and radiosurgery treatment solutions for cancer care. My name is Norman Jorka Anderson and I'm joined by fellow host Joe McNamara.
Hi everyone!
So a huge thank you to our last guests, Katie Hunt and Esther Buckland, who talked about what is Gamma Knife treatment, the required workflows and radiographer-led working. If you hadn't had a chance yet, please do go and take a listen. So we're very pleased to introduce our guest for this evening, Renee Joss, who will be discussing her career, radiographer-led working and technical advances in neuro-oncology. Hi Renee, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and nice to meet you both.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So would you mind by starting and telling us what your current role is and how you got there?
So I'm currently the lead Gamma Knife radiographer at Genesis Care. I am originally trained in South Africa. Back in the day when I did my training, you had to be a diagnostic radiographer first. So I did diagnostic radiography and then I specialised for 18 months and became a therapy radiographer. I did 18 months of postgraduate work at Addington Hospital in Durban. I worked there for about 18 months. I was quite young in my early 20s when I first qualified. Unfortunately, I'd got too emotionally attached to two very young patients who both passed away. And I wasn't sure whether radiotherapy was the right career choice at that age. So I decided to go traveling. I traveled for a year. The first 7 months I did odd jobs completely away from healthcare. And then I came to London and decided maybe I should give radiotherapy a go in a different country. So I joined an agency because that's what most people did back then. Got the opportunity to work at the Cromwell Hospital in London. I did about 3 months there and my manager at the time said that if I ever wanted to come back, not to go through the agency, to contact them directly. I went back to South Africa, worked for a bit longer, also back at Addington Hospital, decided I still wanted to see more of the world, so I came back to London. Contacted my manager, my old manager, and I was very lucky because back then therapy radiographers were in such short supply and didn't matter where you went in the world, everybody wanted therapy radiographers. The hospital applied for a work permit and I have been at the Cromwell in different roles for a number of years. I worked my way up from being a bank radiographer, I got a permanent position at the hospital, worked mainly on the Linacs, did a little bit of time in planning, but mainly on the Linacs, and worked my way up from a junior to senior radiographer. And in 1998, the hospital said they were going to look at installing a Gamma Knife. And I was like, oh, what's a Gamma Knife? And I suppose the rest you could say is history, because I have been working on the Gamma Knife since 1998, when we had a Model B installed, which was all completely manual. So I've seen lots of changes within the field of Gamma Knife and within radiotherapy, I suppose. Initially, it was just to be a rotation. But they soon realized that actually they needed to probably have more permanent staff working in the Gamma Knife. So I applied for the job. I was very lucky. I was successful, became a senior radiographer in Gamma Knife. All the training was done in-house. I was also very fortunate. I have been able to work with Professor Krista Lindquist, who was trained by Lars Lexell himself. I also worked with Mr. Forster, who set up the first Gamma Knife in Sheffield in the UK. And latterly, I've also worked with Professor Bodo Lippert. So I count myself to be very lucky with the consultants that I've worked with and how I've gained my training. I've, as I say,
is that the Golden Globes name drop, Renee?
But, you know, between them, they've probably got, I don't know, over 50 or 60 years experience. So I've been very fortunate to have that experience and learn from real experts, really. And I suppose I went from being a senior Gamma Knife radiographer. I did manage the department for a while until the Cromwell went into partnership with Genesis Care. Genesis are specifically an Australian company who specialise mainly in radiotherapy and a little bit of cardiology. And the Cromwell went into partnership with Genesis Care because they didn't feel like they had the expertise to grow radiotherapy. I've been very lucky and we're having to work under Genesis. We now have the Icon model Gamma Knife. We also have a Varian Linac and an MR Linac. So we do stereotactic radiosurgery on both Gamma Knife and on the Linac. So yeah, I guess I've been very fortunate in the positions and the companies I've worked for to gain the experience that I have done. Certainly Gamma Knife wasn't, when it was first installed in London, we were the first Gamma Knife in London. It was at a time when there was not a lot of publicity or even NICE guidelines weren't approved for SRS back then. So it was a real struggle to get insurers to recognize it as a treatment, to get NICE approved. But, you know, we worked through it all. Initially, our numbers were low. And then over time, NICE guidance came. We got an NHS contract whereby we were able to treat NHS patients, even though we were a private hospital, because at that stage there were only 3 Gamma Knives in the UK. So, yeah, I've seen lots of growth and lots of progression for stereotactic radiosurgery, particularly with the Gamma Knife.
Can I take you back very quickly, Renee?
Yes.
What got you into healthcare? Because you're very passionate about your patient.
My mum and dad, I was born and brought up in Zimbabwe. When we immigrated to South Africa, I was 15, and we had to go and have chest x-rays taken as part of the immigration process to check for TB. And while we were sitting waiting to go and have our chest x-rays, I said to my mum and dad, "This looks like quite a cool job to do." And it just progressed from there, really. I suppose if I'd never been in that situation, I probably would never even considered x-rays as a career. So yeah, that's where it stemmed from. I did diagnostic first, and while as part of our diagnostic training in South Africa, you spent all 3 years of your diagnostic training, you spent a week every 13 weeks doing a rotation in radiotherapy. So that's how I've also learned a bit more about radiotherapy and decided at the end of my diagnostic training, well, it might be quite nice to be dual qualified, because then I've got two platforms to consider. And I think Gamma Knife for me falls in quite nicely, because I have the best of both worlds. I have both the diagnostic side of it and the therapy side.
I was going to say, they align beautifully, don't they, really, in terms of the kind of knowledge and expertise that's required.
Yes, definitely. And also with the follow-ups, you know, we follow up quite a lot of the patients that we treat. So you get to see the results of your treatment, which is also quite nice, which you don't get that as much just as on conventional radiotherapy treatments, I don't think.
Renee, I was going to ask, because you mentioned that you needed some time out because of the emotional, you know, toll that it took on you being a therapeutic radiographer at the start. But I would say, from my experience of kind of spending time in stereotactic radiosurgery, that you do really get to build that rapport with patients, probably even more so than you would in conventional radiotherapy. Do you think it's having that time out that kind of did that full circle, and why you then found yourself kind of drifting into that field, or was it more just around circumstance and that looks new and exciting and shiny?
No, I think you could be right. I think, you know, when I first thought about Gamma Knife, I didn't really know very much about it. I didn't know how much time I would be spending with a patient. I guess with Gamma Knife, you're spending a short amount of time in that it's one day, but you're with the patient a lot and you find out so much more in that day than you do over a course of radiotherapy treatments. So yeah, maybe having that time out was good, but I think probably the more I've been in Gamma Knife, the more I appreciate being able to see the results of the treatment, and that makes a huge difference. And being able to see patients come back that have been told by consultants, there's nothing more we can do, you need to get your affairs in order. And then we've treated them, and 3, 4, 5 years later, they're still here. You know, they've still seeing children grow. And yeah, and I suppose it's not just from a metastases point of view. I've also treated patients with Parkinson's or essential tremor, and patients write to you afterwards to say, I couldn't write, hold a pen, or I couldn't hold a cup of tea, and I couldn't do my buttons up. You know, it's those little things that you think, oh my word, I've made a difference.
And that's exactly why therapeutic radiography is the best career in the world, and everyone should do it.
What's been the biggest advancement, Renee, in stereotactic?
I think probably the fact that it's become more accepted, particularly within the UK. I think across Europe, America, Japan, even they've used stereotactic radiosurgery or used a Gamma Knife a lot more openly than that's been done in the UK. And I think not just with Gamma Knife, there's so many different other platforms that do stereotactic radiosurgery. So I think it's good that the different platforms try not to compete against each other, because at the end of the day, we all want what's right for the patient. And whether that's stereotactic radiosurgery on a Linac, on a CyberKnife, on a Zappex, on a Gamma Knife, it doesn't really matter, so long as the patient is getting the right treatment for them.
Renee, through the podcast, we are quite lucky to speak to people living with and beyond cancer, and they often talk about the difference between whole brain radiotherapy versus stereotactic radiosurgery. What is the difference, and how do you decide?
So I guess whole brain radiotherapy is the treatment of the entire brain. Previously, pre-stereotactic radiosurgery, whole brain used to be the treatment of choice, I suppose. There wasn't really very many other treatment options available to patients. And they treated both the lesions that you could see as well as prophylactic for microscopic disease. Whole brain radiotherapy is usually a 1 or 2 week course where there's a fraction, you have a fraction, so it's a lower dose. And although it's a lower dose, the long-term effects because of toxicity for some patients can be quite significant. And I suppose also initially we weren't that aware of what the long-term effects of whole brain radiotherapy were. Now that we have better systemic forms of treatment, other treatment modalities that are keeping patients alive longer, we've been able to see what the cognitive effects of whole brain radiotherapy are. So I'm not saying whole brain radiotherapy isn't used anymore. It is, but maybe it shouldn't be the first choice of treatment for some, if not the majority of patients. And certainly in some countries, whole brain radiotherapy is virtually a thing of the past, and in others, it isn't. Stereotactic radiosurgery, compared to whole brain, stereotactic radiosurgery is much more localized. You're only treating the lesions that are identified. It has a much steeper dose fall off, so you're not getting the cognitive effects to the brain later on. It doesn't mean to say that new disease won't materialize, but that if you've responded well to the first thought of stereotactic radiosurgery, there's no reason why you can't have more stereotactic radiosurgery and still have a good effect. Stereotactic radiosurgery for some could be a single fraction or up to five fractions. You can have it with a frame or a mask. With whole brain radiotherapy, you only have the mask. Both need planning scans. With SRS, stereotactic radiosurgery, it could be CT and MRI, or one or the other, or both. With stereotactic radiosurgery, we still do have some limitations. You know, the size of the lesion, you can only treat lesions that are, in general, no more than 3 to 4 centimeters in diameter. Then to give that higher dose, to anything larger than that, you would cause other problems that would then need to be looked into.
When stereotactic radiosurgery, especially with the Gamma Knife, was first approved to treat patients with brain metastases, initially it was thought that you couldn't treat more than 3 lesions. But even over time, that has now changed, and they no longer look at the number of lesions a patient has. They now look at the overall volume. NICE guidelines state that anything more than 20 cc's in total volume is not suitable for SRS. So you could have a patient that may have 20 or 30 tumors, completely total volume of less than 20 cc's, and is therefore suitable. You can have another patient, 1 lesion much larger than 20 cc's, then obviously isn't suitable for SRS.
There's also differences between the different SRS platforms. On a Gamma Knife, we could quite easily treat 20 or 30 lesions. You could plan it, treat it all within one day. To treat 20 or 30 lesions on a CyberKnife or a Linac is going to take a number of days to plan, and it's going to take a long time to deliver. So there are differences even on the different platforms. So it is difficult to explain to patients, people, what's the best option to go with. But I think it very much depends on the individual and what their disease is.
And do you think it's important for the patients to kind of mention it as, could I be eligible for this treatment? Because I just think sometimes as well, it's very easy for us in a department. I'm really lucky being in Sheffield that we've got an amazing centre. But if I, as a therapeutic radiographer or as a consultant, wasn't exposed to that so much, then, you know, it's easy to forget the different treatment modalities that maybe might be accessible to people should they be willing to travel and obviously be eligible.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's really important for not just the patients to query it, but, you know, us as radiographers, where it doesn't matter what centre you're in, if you think that a patient could benefit from SRS on a different platform, I don't see why it should be a problem to ask or to raise it. Because I still think it's not just NHS, but private patients, self-pay patients, I do still think it's a postcode lottery as to, depending on where you live, what you're close to, and I'm not sure patients are even given a choice as to whether or not they would be interested in traveling to whatever machine may be available if one isn't suitable for them.
Renee, just linking to that with your experience of working abroad, how does it look kind of in the medical world abroad compared to the UK?
Oh, interesting. So when I first came to the UK, the machines, the Linacs I worked on in the private sector in the UK weren't as up to date as the equipment I was working on, the Linacs I was working on in South Africa, which at the time was considered a third world country. Now, I don't know the reason behind that. I would say now that has completely reversed, because South Africa has only in the last 3 years got their first Gamma Knife, and even on their Linacs, they're not treating many stereotactic radiosurgery cases. So I think things are definitely changing. But it was something that when I first came over was quite taken aback by, and quite a noticeable change that I wasn't expecting. From what I've heard at different conferences and meeting different consultants, I still think the UK are slightly behind in how they treat patients compared to even Europe. And the outcomes for treatments are still not as good as in other countries. Why that is, I'm not sure. Is it because people aren't given the opportunities to travel to platforms that might be more accessible or available to them? And are they still just being offered whole brain radiotherapy?
Obviously, knowing that outcomes are slightly less in the UK, or less favourable if you want, compared to other countries, we, again, through the podcast, have quite a few fantastic patients who try and champion for others, trying to make experience better. What would you say to patients who are trying to maybe fight that postcode lottery system and get this sort of treatment or help other people?
They have to go to their MPs, they have to ask for second opinions, challenge your consultant as to why they're not being offered anything, other platforms. I think everybody should challenge, and to just keep educating people. You know, I think quite a few patients have come certainly to Gamma Knife because they've researched it and found out about alternatives themselves, not because the medical profession has told them. And I think that's a real shame.
Based on decades of unrivaled Lexel Gamma Knife development, Elekta Esprit is designed specifically to treat even the smallest and most challenging intracranial targets while protecting essential healthy tissue. It has become the gold standard in stereotactic radiosurgery. You want to know more about the Lexel Gamma Knife and how it works? Check out our videos on YouTube.
Lane, can I ask about training and development? Because it is maybe so different to the role of a therapeutic radiographer. And obviously for you as a manager, if you have people rotating or taking permanent roles, how do you keep on top of all of the continual professional development required in a role like that?
So we obviously have a competency framework. A lot of the training within Gamma Knife or on the SRS Linac, everybody's is obviously therapy trained initially. But then most of it is in-house training and through competencies, and making sure that people are aware of the different platforms. Obviously, there's courses that conferences that you can attend. There are no courses that you can go on. You know, it's just reading articles. Learning on the job. And as I say, I've most of what I learned was through the consultants who had all those years of experience. So I think that definitely helps. And I'm sure in Sheffield, I mean, they have so much experience in Sheffield. If you are able to get to Sheffield and spend some time and look at their experience and soak up some of their knowledge, yeah, I think that's all we can do at the moment.
Do you have any hybrid crossover sharing of case studies and, you know, ways in which maybe advancements are developing through software technology? Do you share that? I know it's maybe slightly difficult for you to answer that question working in Genesis, which is slightly outside of obviously NHS, but, you know, is there opportunity for people to get together and talk, or is it being a standard at a conference going, oh, well, we have this case?
Yeah, very much so. It's at conferences. Certainly within Genesis, yes, we do. We have lunch and learns, but Elekta have last year, they did a get together of the 7 gamma knives within the UK to try and learn and from each other, and particularly around the some of the obstacles with the NHS and funding and the way funding is done, because it's now on a 4-tier system, not just for Gamma Knife but SRS in general. It doesn't matter what platform it is. So Elekta do try and get that shared learning.
What's next in your training and development? Are you going to a different country? Anywhere else you're going to try out?
No, I'm definitely not trying out. I'm coming towards the end of my career. So I'm more than, yes, I am. I've been, yeah, retirement is not that far off for me. So I'm still excited to learn new things, but to go to a new country, no, probably not. I am probably going to stay put for a while and start thinking about semi-retirement. I don't want to retire completely, but yeah, maybe winding down a bit.
I know this sounds silly, because I can absolutely understand that you have worked with amazing people and you're like, they're so inspirational, I learned so much from them, they were the leaders in that field, and yet, Renee, that is you also. So how do you pass on your knowledge, your expertise, to the future generation coming in to kind of work within Gamma Knife?
So I'm very fortunate, because I do have a colleague that I work with at the moment. He's young, he's ambitious. We've already introduced in Gamma Knife, where radiographers at Genesis in London, we take the frames off. We're now looking at RadLED frame fitting, particularly for patients that haven't had open surgery, so they've got an intact skull. There probably isn't a reason why, if you're trained, you couldn't, as a radiographer, you couldn't put the frames on, rather than having to rely on a neurosurgeon or an oncologist to be trained by a neurosurgeon to put the frame on. So yeah, I think certainly there are radiographers coming through who are eager to learn, both whether it's on the Gamma Knife, whether it's on the Linac. So as long as I have radiographers around me that are like that, we have students that come through. So yes, I'm happy to encourage them and make them think about radiotherapy isn't just one-dimensional. There are so many other things that you can do. And I don't think many people also realize that, certainly with the Gamma Knife, it's not just metastatic disease that you can treat. Do you know, I read an article just towards the end of last year. In America, there's a couple of Gamma Knife centers that are now looking at treating anorexia nervosa. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the potential that it can still have after all these years.
It's quite exciting. I feel like I want to read that paper and understand a bit more.
I read a really good book called Contaminated, about a girl who was, during her pregnancy, OCD. And she went through all the different types of treatment, and she eventually had Gamma Knife, and it's Gamma Knife that's cured her OCD. It's amazing. It's such an amazing book.
What would a normal workflow be like for someone going for a cancer treatment, let's say with the radiographer led pathways?
If we could, also we're looking at doing radiographer led clinics, I think patients would be able to obviously see a consultant initially. Patients could then be seen if they're then deemed suitable and been through the correct channels and deemed suitable for Gamma Knife, they could then be seen by a radiographer in a radiographer-led clinic. All the workup could be done by a radiographer. Patients could come in. At the moment, most of our patients are admitted to the hospital as day cases. Some centres, the patients aren't admitted to a ward. They just come in as an outpatient. So I think that you have the opportunity to be able to do that. If you had simple enough cases, you could even, as radiographers, consent the patient to the treatment, or the consultants could consent them and you could just reconfirm their consent. You were always going to need the consultant, a physicist and a neuroradiologist available to you on the day to be able to outline and sign off prescriptions. But I think a lot of it could be done by radiographers, so that you didn't need to use up valuable consultant time, and patients could be seen quicker. Maybe you wouldn't have the waiting lists that potentially could build up. I think maybe to a certain extent it could probably even be cost effective to be able to treat patients with led by radiographers. I'm not saying you have to get rid of the consultants. I'm not taking a consultant's job away. But I think you could definitely free up some of the time that, you know, lots of them are really busy. So it's I think it would be a win-win. The consultants would have more time to do what they needed to do, and the patients would have less waiting and be seen quicker and treated quicker.
Exciting time, isn't it, for us as radiographers to look at our scope of practice and how we can support the other different disciplines involved in patients' care. I think it's so important, and hopefully grows us as a profession so we're recognised more outside of just our bubble.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's so much that could still be done. And do you know, I remember when Mr. Lindquist first came to the Cromwell, to the UK, because he's obviously Swedish based, and the very first time he saw radiographers at the planning workstation importing images and getting things ready for the physicist, I remember him saying, are you taking over my job? And we were like, no, but radiographers can plan. We plan treatments in radiotherapy, you know, radiographers can do that. And that was like a completely foreign concept to him. So, yeah, I do think there's lots of things as radiographers in our scope of practice that we would be able to do.
What's the future looking like? You know, you've seen so much involvement over the years, but what are you most excited about, like, coming onto the platform?
I would like to think it's a change in attitudes and mindsets, and that consultants or medical profession won't be upset or offended by other colleagues maybe challenging decisions or questioning why certain platforms are used, or Yeah, I think that is something that up until now, most people would be too afraid to do because of potential repercussions, or consultants would be, you shouldn't question me. I'd like to think that we're of an age now where people don't feel like they're being questioned or second guessed. You're just asking from a patient point of view, are we actually doing at the end of the day what's in the best interest for the patient? And I think that's has to be front and foremost for everybody, all professions. Regardless of where you are or regardless of what platforms you have available, I would like to think that that's the way we're going to move forward, so that more patients have SRS available to them. And you know, don't get me wrong, I know that there isn't an endless pot of money for both the NHS, the private, or whatever, but I'm sure in the long run, if we thought more like that, then maybe the money that is spent on the long-term effects because somebody's not been offered, I don't know, a SRS as opposed to whole brain, it's got to be more cost-effective in the longer term, I would have thought.
So Renee, we're coming towards the end of the podcast, but before I ask you for your top tips, as you mentioned, you're thinking about winding down with work. If you could go back in time and give yourself some advice as a baby radiographer, what would you give?
What would I give myself? Probably not to be afraid to ask questions. Not because you're questioning somebody's expertise, but just to have a better understanding of why somebody's decided to do what they do. I wouldn't, not to have been afraid. And also, I suppose, I've seen so many changes in a 35-year so far career. I mean, it's staggering. It's staggering how far we've come in that period of time. I'm just excited for what could happen in the next, not 35 years, even 10 years. I mean, with AI and everything, it's just mind-boggling where we could end up.
Lovely. And what would your top tips be to any of our listeners?
Top tips, obviously, I'm challenged. Don't be afraid to do your research. Ask those questions. And don't just think that radiotherapy is only one dimensional. It's not just metastatic disease. If you do want to pursue a career in Gamma Knife, there's lots of other things that can be treated, and it's radiotherapy, I think, just opens up so many different avenues. So yeah, don't be afraid to think outside the box when it comes to radiotherapy.
Oh, thank you so much. I think it's been a really lovely episode. Lots of loads of insight from you. So thank you so much for coming on as a guest.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure. Thank you. As I say, thank you for inviting me. It felt a real honour.
Oh, well, thank you everyone for listening to Rad Chat. So your hosts today have been Namanjoka Anderson and Joe McNamara. If you're utilising this podcast for CPD purposes, please consider the reflective questions posted, along with the links to resources and literature we've discussed. To receive your accredited CPD certificate, please complete the Google form linked to the podcast. So our next guest to feature in this series will be Dr. Matthew Foote, who will be discussing his career as a radiation oncologist, the integration of Gamma Knife and health inequalities. So we'd really like to thank Elekta for this paid collaboration. Make sure you go to www.elekta.com to check out their products and services, and make sure to check out all the wonderful social media posts accompanying this series. Thanks for listening and take care.